Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hang on to your balls. It's time for the Horror Hangout Podcast.
Welcome to the Horror Hangout, the podcast where two bearded film fans watch the 50 best horror movies ever and then talk about them. My name is Luke Condo of the Cake, and I'm joined by my regular co-host,
Mr. Ben Errington.
Mr. Ben Errington. Today we are not talking Correct. About one of the best horror movies ever made. We're talking about a right dishonourable one called The Unnameable.
The Unnameable.
The Unnameable.
As I like to call it.
Yeah, I mean, how are you? How are you, dude? What have you been up to?
Yeah, I'm good. What have I been up to? Stuff and things.
Have you?
You know, all those things and stuff.
Haven't.
Oh, I've done a few stuffs and a few things. What have you done apart from
A couple of things today. I knocked a couple of things out of the bin. I don't know. I've been playing a lot of Dead by Daylight. Actually, no, I haven't. The past couple of days, I haven't, because I spent most of Sunday playing loads of it. I was like, I need to stop playing Dead by Daylight.
I did watch your stream on Twitch for probably longer than I should have, and then but loads of people interacting with you. It was great.
Yeah, it's cool.
I had to type on the PlayStation, so it was like taking me ages to write anything. Yeah. So then I just stopped.
Yeah.
How were they typing so fast? Must have been watching it on the computer, so.
I think watching it on the Mac or whatever. Yeah.
Oh God! You see, I should have done that. But I watched you, and then I think you also invited me to a game, but it was just as I was like finishing off playing something, so. I did what any honourable person would do and just ignored it straight out. I went, shall I just tell him that I can't be able to type?
No, it's because someone did the same thing to me and I was like, I can't be bothered right now. I think you need to sort of have some sort of like date, or like you need to plan it a little bit.
Some sort of agreement. You don't want to do it out of nowhere. Have you ever been invited to play a game like just by a random stranger? Like just someone's invited you. Like who the hell's what, that?
On the PlayStation or just outside somewhere?
Just on the PlayStation, but I mean outside as well. I'll come over here and play hopscotch. Oh, you aren't even drawn it yet. Well, yeah.
I've never had anyone invite me. I've had like some. You know how like you get those like weird sex bots that talk to you on Skype. So it doesn't really happen much anymore. But I'll message you and say, hello, who are you? Age, sex, location, all that kind of stuff. I've got some of those.
HX location.
I've got a couple of those through the PlayStation. I think Cat got one as well. I was like, how many?
They
never stop.
I think I had one. Did you feel automatically guilty as well when it came through? What have I done? So. What have I signed up to? No, I don't think so. Yeah. The only time anyone like actually offers to play a game with you out and about is when you're like playing football somewhere and someone comes and wants to go, can we join in? Like, that's lovely, isn't it? Sorry, I don't make the rules, mate. It's not my ball. That's lovely, though, isn't it? Like, what other walks of life does that happen?
It doesn't. I think only football.
Only football. No one else comes. If you're playing a bit of tennis, no one walks in and goes, fancy a bit of doubles? Well, actually, maybe they playing chess. Do you mind if I have a go in the next?
I think bowling, maybe.
Bowling, yeah. Maybe like pool. If it's like a... People might come over and go,
pool, you do. Because you put your 50p on. You say, I'll play the winner.
Yeah, you do. I mean, it's quite aggressive, that, isn't it?
Yeah, I like to just
I'll play the winner.
Knock their 50p off the table. It always makes you feel a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah, not their 50. Yeah, it does. Because like, well, maybe I'm not done. Maybe I want to play this game, and then we want to play another game.
Yeah.
Maybe this is the end of like a best of seven series between us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
But so what other games did you do? You played a couple of games of tennis. What else?
I played some tennis with John McEnroe.
Yeah.
I've watched a couple of things this week, but not a great deal. I watched The Neon Demon, which is
so that's on Netflix right now, right?
That's on Netflix. I watched it on Netflix. Yeah, we're not sponsored by Netflix, but I mean, it was on Netflix. So if you want to watch it on Netflix, that's the only place you can watch it.
You still get a 3-month trial on Netflix? Or did they stop doing that now? They don't need to do that now, do
sure
they?
Sure, they still do that. Yeah. They don't need to do it, but they don't need to not do it.
That's a good point.
See? So yeah, this is is this the latest Nicholas Winding Refn film?
Yeah, he just wrapped on something else. It might have been a TV show, I think. But yeah, this is the latest film that's come out. Yeah.
This is the latest film. Yeah. So, I mean, this is very much at the Only God Forgives scale of Nicholas Winding Refn. I think if you think of, like, Drive is probably the most straightforward and standard.
Yeah.
Bronson's probably, like, in the middle.
I've not seen Bronson.
Only God for... Have you not?
No. Is it good? Bronson's
great.
As well, I think, yeah.
Bronson's a great film. Only God Forgives is like the batshit crazy, what the fuck is going on. Neon Demon's really close to that. I mean, it's a very strange, ominous film where it feels like not a lot really is happening, but I mean, it doesn't half look good.
Is that a horror movie?
No, I wouldn't call it a horror movie. It's probably like a psychological thriller with like some horror elements, but I mean, it's almost like, it almost feels like a gritty reboot of Mean Girls in places.
Okay, interesting.
Well,
and they do that Christmas dance, and then one of them kicks the kicks the CD player.
It's they do that right at the end. It sounds good as well. It's got a great soundtrack, but it is quite literally one of those films. You're like, what is going on? Is this just like it's just like dripping with metaphor and also dripping because there's like loads of bodily fluids.
Makeup.
There's makeup, paint.
Is Drive the only film that he's done where it's like, that makes sense? That's like got a beginning, middle, and end.
Well, I guess so, yeah. I guess so. That's the very extreme other level. But that's because it's a film, it's an adaptation of a book, isn't it? So he probably's gone.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna go too mental with this, you know? Because it's a pretty straightforward plot as well, Drive, even though it is amazing.
Yeah.
But yeah, Only God Forgives. I don't know if you've seen that.
Yeah, I've seen that. I thought it was alright. I think
it was all right. I mean, that was
confused.
Yeah, that was
mad. There's a bit where he puts his hands out and then he gets them chopped off, right?
Yeah, maybe. There's a bit where someone gets like something pushed underneath their fingernails, some like horrible bamboo spike. I'm pretty sure that happens.
Yeah.
But yeah, that I like him as a director. I think he's got it going on.
He's a strange one because he doesn't. I think he maybe doesn't work from a screenplay or because he's got some sort of dyslexia or something, and he works from like flashcards instead. He works from purely visual stuff rather than like written.
Oh, wow.
Something like that.
His style reminds me a little bit of Darren Aronofsky.
Yeah,
a little bit, I think. And I also saw. I went to the cinema.
Oh yeah,
I went to the multiplex to the picture house.
Yeah,
and I watched. Yeah,
flumps.
No, they had no flumps, they ran out. and I watched The Meg.
Ice Blast.
Jason saved Ice Blast. No, I didn't get one of them. I mean, I'm not made of money. But I wish I had one. I watched The Meg, which is obviously a giant megalodon, giant prehistoric shark versus Jason Statham. And, you know, it was a lot of fun. It was a good laugh.
Is it because I saw that the... It's supposed to be kind of gory, but then they've taken out all of the gory bits.
There's like no gore in it, yeah. I mean, it's 12A, so that's obviously why they've taken rid of it. So basically, when anyone gets sort of chomped, they either just go down in one.
Yeah.
Or, you know, there's pretty much no gore. I don't think I saw one bit of blood.
Yeah.
Apart from the chum. That's what it's called, isn't it? The chum.
Yeah, the chum. Yeah.
Chum.
There's been a few short movies. There's been 47 Meters Down. The Shallows.
Yeah.
The Meg. And all the Sharknado stuff. The shark
and
genre
Deep
is
Blue Sea 2, which I didn't get around to watching, but still.
That is a good point, yeah. I completely forgot about that.
Yeah.
Speaking of shark horror, I just remembered I watched Jaws 2. This is on Amazon Prime.
Oh.
I've not seen it in a long time. I don't know if I've ever seen it all the way through. It's still got Roy Scheider in it. What's his flavour? And it's got... It's good. It's almost like a slasher, like a classic slasher film.
But isn't the shark got like a gender?
Well, he's either male or female, I guess. I don't know. But
you don't bloody know in this day and age, mate. Yeah. You don't want to assume it.
I don't think it's got a gender. It gets its face burned right at the start of the film, and it's got like a two-faced thing going on. Yeah, but it's good. It pretty much follows on quite well from the last one, but it's not got quite the same magic. It's not got Hooper and Quint, and it hasn't got that same.
Are they where does it say Hooper, and Quint? Oh, obviously Quint was which one
Quint's,
died?
Quint's like halfway dead. Yeah. He's all the way dead.
Yeah, and what Hooper's just mugs. He's just gone.
Swam the other way. at the end of the last one, he swam the other way into the sunset.
In the book, he has an affair with Roy Schneider's wife.
Right.
Not Roy Schneider, but Roy Schneider's character.
The shark's wife. That's why the shark's wife.
You've been sleeping with him behind my back, have you? I'm going to bite his bloody balls off.
Yeah, it's good. Did you watch anything else?
No, that was it. That was pretty much it. There's a couple of cinema releases that I do want to see. I still haven't seen Ant-Man versus the Wasp. No, Ant-Man and the Wasp. Not versus the Wasp. That's out. And I think Black Klansman's out this week, but I don't know if it's out in the UK, so I'll have to...
Yeah.
I'll have to have a little ganders.
Me and Kat watched Pitch Black.
Oh, yeah.
Have you seen Pitch Black?
Yeah.
Have you seen it recently?
Oh, God, not for a while.
I think it's all right. It's quite Riddick still. I mean, when I was 12, he was like the ultimate badass, like cool guy.
I can't believe it spawned another film.
Well, interesting, we watched a bit of that one as well. I fell asleep during the Chronicles of Riddick, but essentially they said, let's take this like contained sci-fi horror film and let's turn it into a sprawling sci-fi fantasy epic, because that's exactly what people wanted. Obviously didn't.
That's absolutely no. Yeah. And it's called The Chronicles of Riddick, assuming they wanted to make another one, but there wasn't another one, right?
Yeah, there's another one. There's another one called Riddick.
What?
I don't know if it's called The Chronicles of Riddick. I think it's just called Riddick.
What? I completely missed that, if that happened.
It's called...
Oh, wait, yeah, there is another film just called Riddick on its own. What, so they've gone, here's The Chronicles of Riddick, mate. This is a great film. But if you've already set something up called something The Chronicles of Riddick, why do you need to call the next one just Riddick?
I don't know. The next one's going to be called Redonk.
The next one's going to be called Less and Less. Rid. Yeah. R.
Pitch Black, it was all right. It was, the only thing is that the CGI of the aliens hasn't aged particularly well. No. It reminds
me... And
they
got like weird like pointy heads or something. What's that?
It's like... hammerhead shark type head things.
Yeah. What are they?
They just, I don't know. Alien things that they're like weird bat things that like they're on the tails. They don't really make that much sense. But they were right. They just look like they reminded me of the effects from the first Mortal Kombat film. If you remember, if you remember the CGI from that.
Yeah. In my head, I'm trying to remember the CGI, and all I can think of is just like. Shit xenomorph.
That's pretty much it. Like, there's no texture at all to like the skin of the creatures.
They didn't get around to doing the textures. They made like the basic
skin. It's like a sofa, like a cheap three-piece sofa.
And what's Riddick's thing? He's just blind or something.
He's got shine eyes. He was in Butcher Bay, which is his prison.
Yeah.
He said for like a pack of 20 menthol cigarettes or something. He paid someone to give him shine eyes, which allowed him to see in the dark, because it's pitch black, this prisoners.
Yeah.
So now he's got really pretty eyes.
That's it. So he's not blind. He could just... He's got shiny eyes.
He can see, but like on a... So he can see, but everything's a lot brighter. Like the gain is turned all the way up.
Oh, yeah. So that's why he's got like those sunglasses.
Yeah.
That's why he's got...
The amount of times he does that, in the film, like takes the sunglasses up over the top of the head or puts them down. Like, it's so often.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, he needs to get them on like some sort of swivel where he can just go like that. He doesn't, just taking them on and off constantly.
Yeah. But yeah, it's all right. And I think it's aged all right. It's just the effects are a little bit cheap. And also the characters are very late 90s TV show stereotype sort of thing.
Who's the female actress in that?
Don't recognize her from anything else.
Oh, really? In my head, I recognize it. Oh, no, it's Radha Mitchell. I recognize her. She's the lead in Silent Hill. I knew I recognized her.
She has been in it. And I like that one as well. Yeah, that's good.
I mean, Silent Hill's great. I think that's definitely got to be a future episode, isn't it? Silent Hill.
I saw some other horror podcast, and they were talking bad about it. They were saying it's shit. And I was like, I remember really liking it.
I think it is the best video game adaptation film. I mean, that's just my two cents, mate.
Maybe it's been a while, but I remember it being genuinely terrifying.
Yeah.
Like, the bit where, like, the sirens go off and, like, the little creatures, the little baby things. Yeah.
One thing I did want to mention as well, not sure if you're done with your guffs, but the Slender Man movie is out. Right. And after watching the trailer, my initial thought was, that looks like it's going to be the worst shit that has ever been conceived. And on Rotten Tomatoes, it's got 12%.
It's weird because you don't conceive this shit, do you? That sounds like you put some planning into it.
I already put some plans out of shit. I wanted it to be. I kind of want it to be shit. You know when all this. Yeah. You know when these like sort of like viral. Let's make it into a film. It'd be terrifying, and then they just give it to. I mean, awful. It's just been absolutely slated. But when things get slated like that, I want to see it even more.
Yeah, could be a future dishonorable one. The only other thing was The Shape of Water, which I watched with Dan, which was way more bizarre than I thought it was going to be.
What's like, bizarre?
It's I don't know. I just kind of thought it was going to be a bit more straightforward than that. But it's like, there's a bit where the woman puts like towels in the bathroom and then fills the bathroom up with water. I don't think that's possible.
That was mental, wasn't it?
There's a bit where Michael Shannon's great in it. He's got his fingers, he's trying to have sex with his wife and he's shoving his like fingers.
He's got horrible rotted hand.
Rotted hand in her face. Yeah, it's gross.
Yeah.
And that's the cat. Like, why did it eat the cat? That was.
It's just an animal, mate.
It was basically Free Willy.
Yeah, but
we didn't get to see the Willy.
Well, we didn't get to see the Willy, but they discussed the Willy quite often.
So it's basically
like a bestiality film. Yeah, I mean that's when you. But it's a really good gothic love story. I think I really like it.
Yeah.
And the main actress, Sally Hawkins.
That sounds right.
I think she's really good. I've seen her in a couple of things before. She's been good. In this, she was like fudding herself off constantly, wouldn't she?
Yeah, like all the time. That's it was way more adult than I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be a little bit sweeter and like softer, but no, it was.
That's the thing. There were those nice. It was a sweet film, but there were those sort of quite gothic, even moments where it was a bit like horror that I thought were fun, which was quite good. Reminded me of like Tim Burton, but maybe not as.
I suppose Del Toro's never really shied away from mixing the sort of the more adult horror with, I'm thinking of like Pan's Labyrinth, where it gets the gun butt to the nose, and also
it's a bottle, isn't it? It's just a bottle of beer.
That's right, yeah. And what's her name getting stabbed in the end of that one? Devil's Backbone, like one of the women gets sort of shamed.
Yeah. Devil's Backbone, Horror Hangar, Episode 1.
That was episode 1, yeah. But that's it. I thought it was pretty good. I definitely need to watch it again. I don't think I quite saw, because I know like when it came out, it was like 5 stars.
It won Best Picture, yeah?
Yeah. Tens across the board. But I was like, 8 across the board.
8s. Yeah, I think I was around about an 8. Yeah. I think after I watched it, I was a bit like, that was amazing. But then as time went on, I was a bit like, Have you heard about the Academy Awards new... category?
What is category?
Best popular film. So
it's like not so lowbrow. The best lowbrow film.
But there's going to be Oscar winners, like which are like, you know, Black Panther and stuff. If that gets nominated, I was just thinking of films that were popular recently. So imagine Infinity War might get nominated. Black Panther. There are some like contenders apparently.
I suppose they can't really ignore it for too much longer, can they? Because it's those films are kind of funding everything else.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but I mean, I know it's a popularity contest anyway with the Academy, and it is a bit like, you know, certain things are Oscar bait still.
Yeah,
but it'd be interesting to see a new category, will it not? What?
What? Should we crack on with the film?
As long as something like Mamma Mia don't get nominated.
It will get nominated. It'll win.
Or like Fifty Shades of Grey, because when that first film came out, it broke all sorts of records, didn't it? And if that wins an Oscar, I mean, I will put my foot in.
You know what's going to win, don't you?
Slenderman's going to win. Yeah, or The Meg.
Yeah, I like it. It's inclusive. Eventually, there'll be awards for everything. The biggest shark film.
Yeah. This shark was big, but that shark was bigger. Okay, that was great.
Yeah.
The best. Yeah.
Big enough. Scene.
The best haircut.
Best haircut. Yeah, I like it. It's inclusive. Best use of, I don't know, hair. Okay.
two different categories. Best haircut and best use of hair. These categories are crossing over for me. Too much.
Too much. Too inclusive, you could say. Yeah. So this film was your choice in dishonorable mention. This is the film that you were brought up on. It's a H.P. Lovecraft.
I was raised on this.
Hot Milk and this film.
Yeah.
And Rusks. And so what is this film? Can you tell us a little bit about it?
So, The Unnameable. Is a 1988 American horror film directed by Jean-Paul Houlette, and it's based on H.P. Lovecraft's short story of the same name, The Unnameable, or The Unnamable, if you're just reading it like it's spelt.
Yeah.
So, high school students check out a haunted house where in the 1800s, it says an ugly monster, bit harsh, called The Unnameable, was trapped in a vault. If the monster's called The Unnameable, is that not just undoing its name?
This monster literally has a name.
It literally has a name, doesn't it?
Or something. Yeah.
So it's called The Unnameable. But is The Unnameable nameable? If you could name The Unnameable, what would you name this beast?
The Unnameable sounds pretty good.
The Unnameable sounds pretty good, but just by having, that's its name. If you're calling it The Unnameable, it now has a name. You've undone
true Lovecraftian horror.
Exactly.
That's where that insanity comes from.
I mean, if it was genuinely unnameable, you'd be like hoof. You call it like hoof beast or like demon tits.
She looks like the creature in this was like a radioactive ug boot. She's bitten by a radioactive ug boot.
You're right. Yeah. Woke up one day, started my new job at the shoe factory when a radioactive ug boot, like it is being a really shit Spider-Man villain.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Have you seen Invader Zim? I always think about that character who was the chicken, like a fried chicken restaurant. He was the mascot, and the zipper got caught, and now he in his chicken suit. So now he roams the sewers as this sort of chicken monster thing because he thinks he's turned into a chicken monster, but it's just got the zip stuck.
I mean, that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
So this is based on a H.P. Lovecraft short story. Have you read it?
No, I've only read I don't know, 8, 9, or 10 Lovecraft stories.
That's a lot, mate. Yeah. I've only read 8, 9. It's like, have you ever had an omelette? Oh, I've only had 8, 9. That's quite a lot.
I mean, it's not what I've read, though. I didn't know much about it. This character as well appears in a lot of his stories, but I don't think he's shown up in any that I've read.
Is it a he or a she, the unnameable?
Well, in this, it's a she.
Yeah, I thought it was a she, because it's got tits, right?
Yeah.
It's definitely got tits in the second film. I remember the tits.
Oh, yeah. You remember them.
Because I was like, hang on a minute.
This film, I couldn't find too much about it, by the way. So there's no rating on Rotten Tomatoes. Empire haven't done an essay on it. It's not out on Blu-ray or anything yet. I think it's coming out on Blu-ray soon, actually. And the sequel. You might want to get on that.
Oh, wow. the reason I chose it, I mean, it depends how you think of dishonorable mention. Because dishonorable mention, you might think it's not notoriously not a great film, but you love it, so it's a bit of a guilty pleasure. Yeah. But I've chosen this as a dishonorable mention because I know it's not that good. I know it's not that great, but in terms of my horror history, you know, how I was shaped as a young, impressionable child.
As a young, impressionable Ben Errington.
As a young, impressionable Ben Errington. As I was shaped, this was the first, not just film or anything, this was the first thing that genuinely terrified me and introduced me to reoccurring nightmares. Which, you know, I reckon weeks afterwards I had it. And I remember that time quite vividly.
What
so
was it?
Obviously,
was it the Ugg boot that was scary?
I think it was the creature, yes. It was the creature, and I think it was the first time I'd seen any sort of gore.
This is, quite gory. Like,
yeah.
Some of the death scenes are really
cool. So, I mean, like, when you're a kid, imagine you've never seen any gore or murder or death. Like, the concept of death, you mean, as a kid, you don't know what the fuck's going on. You're not going, oh, I'm going to bloody die. I'm temporary. I'm going to die one day.
I'm temporary. I'm temporary.
I'm temporary. I mean, I'm just on my hurtling on my way to death. I'm slowly dying year on year. You don't think that. So as soon as I was seeing people get, like, killed and blood spewing out and all this stuff, I was like, what the fuck? Like, well, obviously, I'm not like, what the fuck? I was like, oh, ah!
What the flip?
What the flip? Now, I can't remember how old I was, but I think I've discussed my mum and the fact that she was probably a bad influence on me, is that she used to, like, record films on TV and, like, watch them sometimes on, like, a Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
And when, like, I was supposed to be, like, playing in my room or, like, doing other stuff. And sometimes I'd, like, wander downstairs and, like, start watching or, like, go and sit with her. She'd be like, oh, I'm not supposed to watch this. I'll cover your eyes during the horrible parts or something. And I'd, like, hide behind the sofa, hide behind a cushion. Yeah. I remember watching a lot of this. And, yeah, it, I mean, it really, really affected me to the point where, like, I couldn't sleep. As I said, reoccurring nightmares. My mum watched it with me, but then she went out on the evening. I was just with my dad. So one of my most terrifying memories is being proper scared of this film and going downstairs, Dad, I can't sleep, I'm terrified. And he was playing like some sort of snooker game on like the Sega Mega Drive or something.
Yeah.
Come down here, son, and sit with me and watch this. So I just remember, I've got this really distinct memory of me watching like a really old pixelated snooker game playing and just being like in pure terror.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think
so,
it was the
so watching it this time. Monster. Watching it this time, were you, did you have to go downstairs to watch some... No. Pixelated.
I mean, unfortunately not. I would have liked it if somehow it put me back in that state. I regressed back to like 6 or 7 year old me. However old it was, I'm not sure.
Your thumb just slowly went back into your mouth.
Oh, mummy! But yeah, I'd seen it. I think I watched it when I was about 20 again because I was like, oh yeah, remember that film? I ain't gonna watch it. I think I rented it from like somewhere and watched it, and I was like. Yeah, that was pretty awful. And I remembered that and I went back and watched it again. But I think I saw the second. So there's a sequel, which is called something about...
The Statement of Randolph Carter, I think.
Statement of Randolph Carter, the sequel. And I think that one had a bit of a bigger budget because in it is a couple of... so John Rhys-Davies. You know John Rhys-Davies. Yeah, he's in it. And so is it David Warner. Who you probably recognize as, oh, I'm just trying to think of loads of stuff he's in. He's in The Omen.
Okay. Interesting.
As a guy. So, yeah, I mean, I had like actual, the second cast.
Yeah.
Had an actual cast, where this one's just like a load of, sorry guys, but it's a load of bloody nobodies, all right? You're all nobodies.
It had a bit of a school play sort of quality to it.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, thought the guy who plays Randolph Carter, I thought he was well into it. Was getting into like the campiness of it all.
So Randolph, he was good. So Randolph Carter, he's like a recurring H.P. Lovecraft character. Yeah. And I think he's supposed to possibly be like an alter ego of Lovecraft himself. I think when he writes about him, he writes about, this is what I would do, mate. I was H.P. Lovecraft.
The guy who played him, Mark Kinsey Stevenson, I described him in my notes here, as a glass of milk with hair.
semi-skimmed?
Yeah, and Charles Klausmeier, we may as well get this out of the way, played Howard Damon. Hang on a sec. Charles Klausmeier played Howard Damon as Charles King. I don't know what that means. But he looks like a sort of a young Steve Jobs, but without the promising future. Oh. Sort of put there, yeah.
Well, like, he might like still have an invention characters. In him.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know, mate. I mean, obviously, this wasn't as riveting as some of the other films we've done. But I mean, this reminded me in some ways of like, I used to watch Are You Afraid of the Dark and that sort of thing growing up. And that used to terrify me. And I do wonder, like, if I watch them now, I bet they wouldn't hold up as much as, I don't know, I would hope they would. Go on.
I think I mentioned this film in the Horror Memories That Will Stick With Us Forever episode we did, which I'm not sure what number was.
Yeah.
I think I mentioned this because it was like the first thing that scared me, really. But yeah, it feels a bit like a Goosebumps episode as well.
Yeah, it does. Yeah,
it feels like a Goosebumps episode.
It's
and when you think about
the MIDI keyboard orchestral thing, it's just the guy like tickling the keys every now and again.
Like it sounds like the X Files. I mean, the X Files was a big fan of that. So soundtrack,
there's like no camera movement. And this is the only camera movement is at the end where they were like doing the pretend earthquake movement.
Yeah,
There's no close-ups.
There were some like first-person shots.
There were a couple of people dead. POV. Style. Yeah.
There was a couple of things that I think in terms of the creature design, I think it's really good. I think even holds up. I think there was a couple of times I was a bit like, ooh, gruesome.
So in the short story, The Unknown Bob by H.P. Lovecraft, I read on here, it says, this is how he describes the creature. It was everywhere, a gelatin, a slime, a vapor. Yet it had shapes, a thousand shapes of horror beyond all memory. There were eyes and a blemish. It was the pit, the maelstrom, the ultimate abomination. Carter, it was the unnameable. And in this one, it's like, her name's Eliza.
She's got a bloody... I mean, she's definitely got a shape. She's not a gelatin, a slime, a vapor.
Yeah.
She's an Ugg boot come to life with horns and tits. And I swear, I can't remember. Does she have like kind of wings on her back? Like got some wings, sort of like protruding? I mean, she's basically looked like a demon.
Sharp fanglets. Really, a Lovecraftian monster, like, especially on like a low budget, because it's supposed to be indescribable. I think at the start of the film, they're even talking about the nature of indescribable things and how you can't describe them. But then it's like, you have to like do like a Halloween costume sort of thing to make it work. So it doesn't really, I don't know, it doesn't really make much sense. But
yeah, I mean, if they went to the wardrobe department and said, look, this monster is everywhere. It's a gelatin, a slime of vapor. It's got a thousand shapes of horror beyond all memory, and there were eyes and a blemish, like, and it was the pit, the maelstrom, the ultimate abomination.
Boobs. Got it.
Boobs. That's the ultimate abomination. I'm going to put tits right on it. Yeah. I'm going to put big tits on it and Ugg boot legs.
Yeah. Yeah, man, it was all right. I mean, I think Kat walked in at one point and she was like, I don't think so. And she just sort of walked out.
It is definitely one of those.
And it's one of those. It's dishonorable mention. She walked in as if she caught me doing something dishonorable and then backed out of the room.
And did you panic as well? Even though your trousers were clasped, but you still like grabbed them. Like, oh, whoa.
Yeah.
My bad.
Okay, well, yeah, let's get into the story a little bit. So like I said, we mentioned two characters. The two main characters are Randolph Carter and Charles King.
They're basically like a budget Holmes and Watson. Yeah.
It's
two guys. Lurking around university campuses, just solving... Trying to get their bloody end away.
Yeah. So it actually starts back in the day, the 18th century, in the Winthrop House. There's a screaming noise that's quite persistent. It's like... It's about 10 minutes of screaming is just going on, and it's just the guy. I think that's the thing with this film. It's like a scene that probably could have been just 30 seconds seems to be dragged out for like 10 minutes long. It's a guy walking around his house and it's like, stop screaming, and then he goes to the other side of his house, stop it,
shush. Come on, I'm trying to watch, I'm trying to read.
And then he goes upstairs and there's the screaming is coming from a door with like some like a grill in it or something. It's keeping it's his daughter, right? Is that how they're describing it?
I think his daughter has given birth to some sort of beastie,
right?
And I think they're keeping it, you know, locked up till lunch, just to make sure. I mean, it's probably going around doing it, causing a load of mischief because it's an Ugg boot come to life.
Yeah,
so they'll like just keep it in there, and he goes in to sort of like try and calm her down, doesn't he?
It does not end well for him.
She
yanks his heart out of him. She does the five, what's it called? The five finger death punch or whatever.
the exploding heart technique, that's whatever it is. But she just rips it out.
Yeah. Gets bored and rips it out anyway. And then he screams. So then they're both screaming. And it's like 10 minutes later, Jesus Christ.
Imagine living next door to this lot. Jesus, my God.
And then it cuts to, I don't want to say modern day, but modern-ish day. And then Randolph, what's happening is, it's Randolph Carter telling the story of this happening. Yeah. They're sat outside the house. And then I think one of them looks over at the window and sees her reflection in the window. So is that true? Because there's a bit where he says, if you stare in a window so long, it will retain your image. Is that true?
Oh, that's annoying. Is that actually true? Well, I don't know, because I've stared outside a lot of windows. What happens to my actual image? Do I get to keep it, or does it just recreate in the window?
You lose it. You turn into a blob.
Lose it forever. This Randolph Carter, how old is he, would you say? He's going to university. University buddies.
19, going on 40.
He looks
around that sort of age.
He looks 43. He does not...
he looks like one of the teachers, yeah.
He's dressed in corduroy.
Yeah.
And he just looks
like he sleeps in a bed of hand cream. That's how he keeps his skin so milky fresh.
God, you're obsessed with his milky fresh skin. Supple.
Yeah. Yeah. And he's telling his mates about this. Like, look, lads, there were a thing that happened here a long time ago. And they're like, they're having this weird discussion about the nature of Lovecraftian horror, which I thought was quite interesting. They're talking about if you see something, you should be able to name it. You can't. It's impossible not to measure something. And the guy's
what
like,
what are they measuring?
some sort of image of something. And one of the guys, I think his name's Joel, is like, look, I'll stay in this creepy house all night, and then you'll see tomorrow morning there's nothing.
And they just leave him to do it. That's the behavior of a madman. That would not happen in this day and age. People would go, oh no, I want to go home because I've got things on TV, or I've got catch up.
Got Netflix.
I've got Netflix. Staying at house. What will I even watch? Nothing.
Yeah. So, they go to Miskatonic University, which I quite like that they're keeping the very Lovecraftian parts to it. Miskatonic does sound like a digestive sort of soda or something. Yeah. But it's keeping
delicious.
The Lovecraftian. Yeah. So.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Then Holmes and Watson, two characters, they go to the library, I believe.
They're chilling in the library, and I think they leave Joel in the house, don't they? And then later on, they find out, oh, we haven't seen him since. He ain't come out. What are we going to do? And they're like, well, we ain't going to go there and see if he's all right, because he's probably playing a trick on us.
Yeah.
It's all just like a...
By this point, have we seen him get moided?
I think we still only got moided. How is this thing? I would like to have a bit more of a backstory. I know we got the backstory of the unnamed boy. How is it still in a house? How has it survived? How has it been there for all these years? Even though it's like a demon that's born of a woman, why is it why does it never age? Why is it not
and
dead?
And also, there's a bowl of blood that it seems to be it's like some sort of sacrificial thing. It seems to be collecting blood in this bowl. That never really gets explained.
No. I mean, what's it doing? It's collecting that blood in the bowl because it's making a lovely stew. And he knows that blood just
making a stroganoff. Yeah.
Making a lovely stroganoff.
Yeah. So Joel, he's wandering around the house. Again, this is one of those things that takes about 10 minutes when he's just walking around and he hears a noise and he goes, ooh, that's interesting. Oh, he goes over the other side of the house.
This was nuts. This scene was it was an echo chamber. So this scene happened. Man walks around house. Man hears a noise. Man gets confused. And then it seemed to just happen over and over again until the end of the film with different people.
It's pretty much it, yeah.
That is pretty much it. It gets to this point in the film when they go in the house and literally nothing happens. we don't see anything until, the final 10 minutes of the film?
So,
you could have done a lot more. You could have shown the creature a lot more. There could have been a hell of a lot more. But
yeah. Do we see Joel get his head ripped off? Something bad happens to him. We see
can't remember.
You see the blood.
So I can't remember.
So she pushes him on the floor.
Yeah.
And then he's like, we just see his head and upwards. And then we hear the sort of scratching noise and his blood starts peppering his face.
Oh, yeah.
I remember being like surprised.
Just eating her nipples.
Gone. She popped them nipples right off and a bit of pepperoni. But I remember being kind of shocked because most of it seems kind of like innocent in a way, innocent teen horror, like the way it's acted, the way it's performed. Yep. And stuff. And then it's like when the gore comes in, it's like, oh god, that's actually quite gory. Like, yeah. It's quite surprisingly horrific.
Yeah. So then, after this, like a group of students decide to go there. So there's, listen to this description. Tell me what this sounds like. Not a porno. Two young lads, fresh from the university football team, Bruce Weeks and John Babcock, and a couple of girls they want to score with, Wendy Barnes and Tanya Heller, go there to
fresh
set up
from
a room.
Fresh from the university football team? What does that mean? Fresh from the football team?
Well, what have you done? Just come from football practice? Oh, no.
I'm fresh, well, yeah.
You're fresh off of it, are you?
Yeah.
So they're like, let's go to the bloody house and tell ghost stories. Oh, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, so one of them has like a... the jumper tied around his shoulders. The other one has the school jumper and the logo there. They're both like, what's the guy called? Scooby called? Fred. They're both a bit of a Fred.
Yeah, and they're both 35. It's the Grease School of Casting High School Students.
Yeah.
Is where they're like, we've got to be about 45. 35, sorry. And if you're going to play a 17-year-old, why not?
So the girls they take, there's one called Wendy Barnes, who our guy is in love with.
No. Howard's in love with her. Watson's in love with her.
Watson's in love with her. But the other girl, Tanya, is in love with him. Right?
Yeah. I mean, it's too complicated and convoluted for this film, isn't it? Like, well, there's some sort of love octagon going on. Who's in love with who? Nobody cares. Just let they're fodder, aren't they? They're fodder for the beast.
Yeah.
And none of them are killed in even slightly interesting ways, are they? Really?
Well now it's their turn to sort of walk around the house and hear noises and investigate the noises. They get split up at one point, and then one of them says to the other, one wants to leave the house and says, you want to pull out now before you get your wink wet. Everyone listening here and now thinking, what?
Winky.
Wink wet. Yeah.
Have you got your wink wet? Oh, sorry.
So one of them does get his wink wet when he and Wendy have a bit of sex. And as they're having sex, I thought this was quite interesting. Wendy looks left or right or wherever, and there's a head, Joel's head from earlier in the film, lands next to her head, and he like winks. He didn't wink. But then I think they get the other one gets that boy gets killed. It's a bit confusing.
Is that when he gets his like head smashed on the floor? Is that him?
Yeah. Again, that was quite brutal. Yeah. Surprisingly brutal because it takes time. Like it's really just over and over. It
takes his time to just smash the bonce on the floor. Yeah.
Yeah.
So then Howard and Randolph turn up, don't they? Howard goes and gets Randolph and says, "Look, mate, Joel never came back from the house. We gotta go sort him out." Randolph's like, I'll get the flashlights. Which is, well, yeah.
Are you looking at the Wikipedia summary, by the way? Because even the Wikipedia summary seems kind of passive-aggressive, kind of bitchy about the film.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? It does. It's angry. What are you looking at?
Well, it says, meanwhile, Howard chases after Randolph, telling him that Joel never came back from the house, prompting Randolph to swing into action, saying, I'll get the flashlights with some degree of authority and urgency. Despite not being too bothered about the missing student.
Yeah, he's really bothered by him. Like he's related to Joel or something. Yeah. You let my Joely die!
Okay, so then they're all in the house. I don't think too much more happens. The other guy gets killed.
Yep.
This is difficult to explain because it seemed to take so long to happen. By the time it did happen, I was kind of zoned out of when it was actually happening.
I mean, yeah, in terms of like a horror movie, where it's just like kids getting killed by a creature, it was very lackluster and a bit lame how it went about it. There was a lot of like walking into some area, looking, hearing a scream somewhere else, walking towards that scream, someone jumping out. Hey, I got you guys. Hey, I got you, jerk. There was a lot of that, and it was just all a bit not much, wasn't it?
Yeah, so at some point, Randolph gets split up from the others and he he finds the Necronomicon for some reason. It's in the house, and he starts reading it.
Yeah. It's not been explained why that was involved. Why is that involved some weird sort of demon baby?
And interestingly, he sort of opens up a portal or something in the grave of his ancestor in the graveyard, and he goes into the hole. And it sounds like he's having way cooler adventure in this hole. Because he said it's like fighting skeletons. He's in the dreamland. He's doing loads of cool stuff down there. We don't get to see any of that.
Doing backflips.
And he disappears for the rest of the film. At the same time, they
didn't pay him enough. He was like, "I'm going to go
pay him enough." Yeah.
Next week.
He needed to go bathe in some hand cream, and so while that's happening, the nameless, the unnameable, the unnameable is hunting after the other two, and then at some point, the camera starts to shake. People must be off camera with like branches poking at the unnameable. We finally get to see it now, and it is kind of spooky. It slaps the main dude at one point.
That's what it seems to do. It seems to like grab people, and someone gets close to it, and it goes, backhand, get away from me. And then it comes for him again, backhand.
Yeah. All the secondary characters, it didn't do the bitch slap. It went straight in for the neck or the kill or something, the heart.
Yeah, exactly. But yeah, I think it was pretty creepy in terms of the creature design. Like the face and the eyes are kind of nasty. In the second film, in the sequel, the creature looks like more cat-like. It's got very like cat-like features and bigger wings, I think. Maybe smaller tits. Can't remember. And conveniently like long enough hair to cover her
nips.
Genitalia.
All right.
So, I mean, to be fair, like, as soon as the creature appears on screen, like, it's not as much of a threat as perhaps it felt like it was. Because isn't there one point where they fend it off with, like, trees and stuff?
Well, I don't think they're holding the trees. That's what I mean. So I think it's because Randolph's in some dreamland.
Yeah.
He's doing some magic. And it's like these branches just start appearing on the camera and start, like, attacking the creature. I think, what happens at the end? Does it get sucked into the hole? It gets eaten by a tree or something.
I don't even remember. Does it get sucked off at the end? What does someone get sucked
what
off?
Happens?
I don't know. So yeah, basically the tree, like with the aid of Randolph in the book, it says, snatches Alidia. That's Alidia. Alida. That's right. From the house and the climax of the film. So Howard and Tanya survive, but then some like Howard comes up from the catacombs, doesn't he?
Well, he comes out now of the dreamland, and as they're helping him out of the grave, there's like one skeleton hand, like,
one persistent skeleton.
Like, it's like squeezing his buttock as if he's trying to get out. It's a really lame-looking plastic hand.
Oh, I like you. And
he's been in there. Like he said, it was hell down there, Howard. I've been fighting like skeletons and all sorts.
I've been down there for 18 years. What's that? It's been 18 years.
You should have seen what happened down there. It's really exciting. And he's like, yeah, we've just been in the house running around.
Clearly didn't have the budget to show what's going on down there. And then it ends really weird. Like, everyone walks off, like, with their arms around each other. Mm. Hey, guys, wasn't that a great adventure? And the music's, like, just upbeat. It's just
everybody had, like, an upbeat music at the end, yeah. So that's it. I mean, I don't think this was the most in-depth critical analysis we've ever done on a film. But,
I mean, it's hard to. Like, I think even if we wanted to try, like, there isn't enough happening. I mean, even though it's H.P. Lovecraft thing, there aren't that many themes going on. Like, not enough explained. There's not enough of a backstory to the demon. Like, I think what we needed was some sort of, like, connection to the demon. Some sort of, like...
Do you remember one jump scare that I think made Kat jump? I was going to ask her. But she said it didn't, but I'm sure it did. So... they're in the bedroom of the house, and then Wendy or one of the girls says, "I just saw the creature in the window," and Howard goes, "No, that was just it's just retained the image because it's been looking out the window for so long," which is a weird thing to say. I've never like seen something in the window and go, "That's not a tree outside." It's a reflection. It's retained the image, and then he looks through the window, and then the creature punches through the window and grabs at Howard. I thought that's quite good.
The creature's like, "Fuck it, you fucking slick."
Yeah, man. So I don't know. It was interesting.
I think it was something I had to watch again just to remind myself. You know, I think I'm done with it now. I never need to go back to it again. It scarred me, and yeah. I think I'm over it. Like, I needed to face up to it. I needed to bring you down with me. I needed you to watch it as well, so you knew what my pain was like.
Yeah.
And now you've done it. And now you can
have
nightmares.
I'm going to have nightmares. Yeah, I'm going to come
nightmares for a week. No, no. The window retains my image.
Okay, so in terms of trivia, it was difficult to find some trivia questions. Are you ready for the trivia?
Yeah.
Number one, the script was written in 7 weeks, true or false?
7 weeks?
Mm.
You could write this script on the back of a napkin. true.
False, 7 days, so it took 1 week.
Ah.
Number two, the film was shot in 3 days.
True.
False, it was shot in 3 weeks.
This film is haunting me. This film is just not letting me get off.
Like I said, there wasn't too much trivia sort of questions to... there wasn't enough meat on the bones, shall we say. Number three, in the user reviews on RottenTomato.com, one user, Jen, said, "Piss off, it's funny." Can you guess how many stars she gave it?
Well, out of what? Five?
Yeah.
Piss off, it's funny. 5 stars.
4 stars.
Oh, fucking... Who's she telling to piss off?
I don't know. She's angry.
So aggressive.
There's a lot of negative reviews, and she was like, "Piss off, it's funny."
She went up there and went, "Hang on a minute, people have left negative reviews on the Unnameable. Piss off, it's funny."
Okay,
like, yeah, but you know, it's not supposed to be funny.
Yeah, I know. So that should go against it, surely. Number four, the director Jean-Paul Huillet followed up the movie with the action comedy Chinatown Connection, starring the one and only Bruce Lee. True or false?
that's too specific. True.
It did start A.
Don't
Bruce
you
Lee,
dare!
But it's Lee spelled L-Y. Although he did look a lot like Bruce Lee.
Are you joking?
No, yeah, Bruce Lee. Yeah, Bruce Lee.
Is this real?
Yeah, it's called Chinatown Connection, God. And it stars
Bruce Lee.
Lee spelled
L-Y. Who is Bruce Lee? Is he like
nobody knows. Yeah.
Is he just a cheap version of?
Well,
I think after
Bruce Lee died, like the real Bruce Lee, there's like a whole industry of not Bruce Lee films starring people called Bruce Lee, or you know, they were like spelled L-I or like all different types of things, just because they knew people wanted to watch more Bruce Lee films, and there wasn't anymore.
That's mental. Yeah. That's actually mental. You don't look at it and go, "Oh, I'll just squint. I'll just pretend." It's Bruce Lee.
Yeah, hang on a minute. This isn't the Bruce Lee I know.
Hang on a minute.
He's not like water at all. Okay, so I couldn't even find another trivia question. I really tried. I guess the last question would be, what grade did I give it?
Well, the last question is the unnameable.
Yeah,
I know we've covered that already, but is it?
Well,
they've named it the unnameable,
but they've named it a leader. So it's literally got.
Well, that's its human name. What would you call the actual monster if you're going to call it Ugg Boo?
Ugg.
Yeah. Oof Beast. Yeah. I like Demon Tits.
Demon Tits is the band name, I'm sure.
Got it.
Yeah. Yeah, who knows? Leather. It's got like turtle tits. We'll go with
that. Turtle tits.
Yeah. Leslie
Very
Turtle
nice.
Tits.
Very nice.
Pam Sandwich. Pamela Sandwich.
I'm just looking at like some actual images of this unnameable. And wait, there's a bit in this film where like someone rips a flap of skin off her face.
I don't remember that.
It was when it was like fighting people at the end. Oh, it is scary. I'm looking at it. It is a scary, like, if you're listening to this, you've never seen this film, just hunt down at least a picture of the unnameable, because it is scary. It is.
I've just Googled.
Are you laughing?
I've just Googled Pam Sandwich, and it's not showing up at all. Let's have a look. I'm Googling it now.
The unnameable?
She constantly looks like in the images that I'm looking at, like you've walked in and you've caught her at a bad time. Like, oh, sorry.
Yeah. What are you doing?
I thought it was empty. Sorry.
It's my personal time. It's my lady time. Sorry. Got me carried away there. She's got horrible gnashes as well, doesn't she? When you think about it, horrible teeth.
She reminds me a little bit of the bad guy from Wishmaster. Hey, that'd be a good one to do, Wishmaster.
Yeah. Imagine a good film with this monster. Could have been so different. Yeah. Okay. Are we grading it?
Yeah, so what are you going to go for?
I can't go very high, mate. I'm sorry. What's the lowest grade?
I'll tell you my first. I was going to give a D-. But any less than that, it would just... I think there must be... This film, you know, it worked to some degree, the gore and stuff, so...
Do you know what? I'll hook a man up with a D- as well. That's fine. What would you give that out of 5, though? What is it out of 5? How many stars?
I'd have to give it 1.75 out of 5.
Okay. Because I think I gave it 2 stars on my star rating system, but, you know, could be less.
So that was an interesting treat. Next week, we're doing another dishonorable mention. I didn't know what we're going to do, but then I'm just thinking now, Sleepwalkers, the Stephen King Mick Garris film, might be quite good because it's got like the dishonorable element would be the mother son sort of sexual relationship. That could be the dishonorable part of it. It's the only film I think Stephen King wrote the script for. It wasn't an adaptation. He actually wrote the script for his friend Mick Garris to direct. So that could be interesting. Maybe. Yeah. We'll see. We'll see what you think.
We'll see what happens, mate. Sounds fun.
Right.
Well, that was a quickie.
How long is that for?
I don't know,
minutes,
but
53
I
minutes.
Think, I feel like it's quickie in comparison to what we've been doing lately. So, you know, we dragged it out. We dragged it out.
The film did as well, to be true. Yep. To be fair.
The film really did.
Yeah. This show is brought to you by Hawk and Cleaver. Head over to hawkandcleaver.com. Become a patron over at patreon.com/hawkandcleaver. Thanks to Kovac Cameron for our theme music. Thanks to Acast for hosting the show. Thanks to the listeners. If you enjoyed the show, give us a 5-star rating review on iTunes and remember to hit subscribe. Thanks to my co-host Ben for being a right horror honourable dude.
Thank you very much, Luke Condor.
Right.
It's been a pleasure.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.